Here and no story. Here and no English. Here and no stories in English. This is your program. Here and no.
Welcome to our program, Here and Know, brought to you by the Office of Language Self-Learning at UAEH, where you have the opportunity to hear stories in English and test your understanding. My name is David Watson. Each week we'll listen to part of an interesting story and ask questions about what happened. We'll give you the answers to check your understanding. Then, at the end of the program, we'll ask a question for a prize. Send your answer in English via email as soon as possible to hearandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. We'll print out all the correct answers and draw one to win the prize and announce it on the next program. Program 3, Part 1. And now, here's your host, Roberta King.
Thank you, David. If I were to say the names Gene Tunney or Jack Dempsey, you might not know who they were. If I said Max Bayer or Joe Lewis, you might have a better idea. But if I said Muhammad Ali or Julio Cesar Chavez, you would know that I was talking about the sweet science or the gentleman's sport of boxing.
You mean today's story is about pugilism? What can you tell us about this ancient sport?
Well, pugilism is another name for boxing, and you're certainly right about its being ancient. Archaeologists have found Sumerian carvings showing bare-fisted fighters dating from 3000 BC, and it was a well-documented sport practiced in the Egyptian, Grecian, and Roman empires, and beyond. Of course, the rules then were different than they are today, but it was still a contest between two players. The first rules were set down by the Egyptians and were not complicated. There were no rounds or timed periods during the fight, and the fights lasted until someone either died or was knocked unconscious. Today, each round lasts about 3 minutes, and if a combatant dies, it is considered a tragedy. In ancient times, the boxers fought wearing nothing but strips of hardened leather to protect their hands and to injure their opponents. As time went on, these leather strips often had spikes in them. The first detailed account of a boxing match was in Homer's The Iliad. The Spartans were thought to use boxing to prepare their warriors for combat training. Boxing was made an Olympic sport in 688 BC. The Romans had two forms of boxing, the athletic sport and gladiatorial combat. Gladiatorial boxing was a very difficult sport which often left the surviving fighters disfigured. The Quirinal, or Terme boxer, is a magnificent Greek bronze statue from the 1st century BC of what historians believe is a specific boxer, because his face is so realistic and shows the scars from years of fighting. It also shows you what boxers wore in that era. You can see a picture of this statue on the internet. Even if you don't like boxing, the artistic talent that made it is incredible. Although it was eventually banned in the Roman Empire, once the emperors became Christian, boxing remained popular around the world. Bare-knuckle fighting, or boxing without gloves, became very popular in England in the late 17th century, and the first rules, called the London Prize Ring Rules, came into effect in 1743 to protect the fighters. Expanded in 1838 and revised in 1853, these rules were replaced in 1867 by the 12 Marquess of Queensbury rules, which are still followed today Eventually, bare-knuckle fighting was outlawed, and after a ruling by the British court that it was an assault causing bodily harm in the case of R. v. Coney in 1882, the sport was no longer practiced in public. In our next program, I'll talk about some very famous boxers.
Before we listen to the first portion of our story, Anna and the Fighter, here are some questions for you to find the answers to. 1. Where was Anna going? To Nera or Polonia? 2. What was the name of the man she met on the train? Was his name Stan or Sam? 3. What was printed under the man's photograph in the newspaper? This man is a dangerous fighter, or this man is a dangerous criminal.
Now let's listen to the first part of our story, Anna and the Fighter.
Anna and the Fighter by Elizabeth Laird.
Anna did not sleep all night. She was excited. Early in the morning, her father called her.
Come on, Anna. It's time to get up. It's a long way to the station.
Anna got dressed, and she was soon ready. She did not eat any breakfast. She was nervous. She was going to visit her aunt in Nera. She was going alone in a train for the first time. Anna and her father left the village and began to walk to the station. It was a long way. They reached the station at midday. Soon the train came. It was nearly empty. Anna got in. She was frightened. It was her first journey away from home.
Your aunt will meet you at Nera, her father said. Be careful now, Anna. Don't talk to any strangers.
The train started suddenly. Soon it was going fast. Anna watched her father. He looked smaller and smaller. Then he disappeared. The train journey was very long. Anna looked out of the window. The fields, trees, villages, and animals rushed past. After a long time, she began to feel sleepy. She was very tired. Slowly, she fell asleep. Later, Anna woke up. It was dark outside. She felt small and lost. She was a long way from her village and her father. There was a man in the carriage with her now. He had an ugly face, and he was very big and strong. His hair was very short. He looked bad and dangerous. The man smiled at Anna.
Hello, he said. You're awake now, are you? Where are you going?
Anna remembered her father's words. She did not say anything.
Are you going to Polona?
Asked the man. Anna was surprised.
No, to Nera, she said.
Nera? Said the man. But we passed Nera 2 hours ago. You were asleep.
Anna wanted to cry. She sat very still. It was warm in the carriage, but Anna felt cold.
We passed Nera? She asked.
Yes, said the man.
Anna thought of the journey back to Nera. How much did it cost? She did not have any money. She thought of her aunt at Nera's station.
Don't worry, said the man. I'll help you. What's your name?
Anna,
she said.
My name is Sam, said the man. You can trust me, Anna.
Anna looked at Sam again. He was very ugly. He had a long scar on his face, and he looked dangerous. But he seemed kind. Was he good or bad? Anna did not know. The train began to slow down. Sam got up and looked out of the window. Anna saw a newspaper on Sam's seat. There was a photograph on the back page. It was Sam's photograph. Above the photograph was a headline. "This man is a dangerous fighter." Now Anna was sure. Sam was a bad man, and dangerous too. He was a criminal. Anna must be careful. She must get away from him quickly. Sam left the window.
"We're coming into Pelona now," he said. "Stay with me. I'll help you."
The train stopped. Anna jumped up and ran to the door. She wanted to run away. The door was very heavy. She could not open it. Sam was standing behind her.
"I'll open it," he said.
Poor Anna. What a difficult thing to happen on your first trip away from home.
Let's listen to our story so far.
Anna was going to Nera to visit her aunt. Her father took her to the railway station and told her not to speak to strangers. This was her first trip away from home, and she was very nervous. After traveling on the train for a long time, Anna fell asleep. When she woke up, it was dark, and there was somebody in the carriage with her. He had very short hair and was very big and ugly. He looked bad and dangerous. He smiled at her and asked her where she was going. Anna remembered her father's advice and didn't answer his question. When he asked if she were going to Polonia, Anna was surprised and told him she was going to Nera. She was more surprised when he told her that they had passed Nera 2 hours ago while she was asleep. Anna felt terrible. She had no money to get back